Welcome to Metaphysical Soul Speak. I'm your host, Elena Fox Starks. Hi guys, I hope that today you are doing extremely well whenever and wherever you are when you happen to be hearing this particular recording. I hope that you're able, no matter what's going on, you're able to keep an open mind and willing to give people that you meet, random people that you meet, the benefit of the doubt. You know, too many times we bristle up and we look down, we don't make eye contact, and we don't want anything to do with anyone else in the city because they're going to rob us. You know, that's the news. And our grandmothers told us, don't put your hair out. Someone's going to grab it and cut it. I mean, when I was a kid, there was a man, a hair cutting fool. He'd run up to people and cut off their ponytail and run as fast as he could. I don't think they ever caught the guy. It was really creepy, you know, like all kinds of weird crap. I mean, in LA for a while, cars were hopping up onto sidewalks and running into people. And that seemed to be like a thing for a while. I don't know if it's just that people are just falling asleep at the wheel or if they were purposely trying to hurt pedestrians. It was, you know, there's like a lot of creepy stuff I grew up with like that. The strangler this and the killer that, and, you know, and then plus the fires and then the smog days. I mean, you couldn't go outside and trust anything. And least of all, not people. You know, a lot of people would say, oh, well, you know, I feel more safe in nature. I mean, sure, there's bears and mountain lions, but they're not as dangerous as people. I mean, I grew up around those attitudes. Were you told that? I mean, I told my kids like so many times how I'm so scared that people are going to take them away from me. You know, kidnappers. So they got to stay close to home. And my oldest was really upset when he left. He's like, you know how hard it was for me to leave home because I thought at every turn someone was going to either kill me or steal from me or take me, you know, kidnap me. I'm like, oh my God, it's my fears because that's how I grew up, you know? So I've learned a little bit to relax. I still, you know, keep my wits about me in public, but it's important to give people the benefit of the doubt until they show you otherwise. And the people that are the worst of the worst will definitely show you otherwise in the first 5 or 10 minutes of knowing you, actually. But I was thinking about my interaction with the jewelry maker yesterday, and I did look into his eyes, and I recognized him from my dream, from my vision that I'd had a couple times about him before I ever met him. And when he was like, hi, and he just hugged me like he recognized me too. And we had this like long, amazing hug. It was so weird. And then right after, like I bought the jewelry from him, he hugged me so long. And I just felt like I really was saying hello or goodbye, I guess, to a long lost friend that I haven't seen in thousands of years. It was only because I kept my head up and I smiled and I made eye contact with people and I gave people the benefit of the doubt. So you can't always trust everybody. I don't always trust cops. And yesterday I also met a very sweet cop. She was very sweet, just, I mean, darling personality. She kept coming around saying, okay, you can't have your jewelry set up here after 8 o'clock. All the vendors have to leave. It's the law in Cuenca, you know. Sorry about that, guys. You know, tomorrow you could come back and sell all you want. Not going to be a problem. You probably should get a permit, but we're not, you know, they didn't even ask if they had a permit or not, but I asked on their behalf so they would know if they want to get a permit, you know. But she was so sweet, though. I mean, very sweet about it. She wasn't a jerk. Like, when I was in Bogota, the cops were just jerks. They were just like, you know, one person told the cop to F off in Spanish, basically, go F yourself, or call him Marica, which is just, it means fag, which is a horrible, horrible word, but something happened. Like, he said something like that, and well, all of a sudden the cops freaked out. They started kicking people's stuff, like their jewelry that they had made, and just start kicking their blankets over and said, get this shit out of here. And they just started, like, they're so mean. And they made like 30 or 40 vendors leave because one guy mouthed off. And then the cops went around to everybody and said, don't let him have a booth here again, because if he mouths off again, we're going to have the law changed where no one can be here to sell their stuff. I mean, it was like really bad, you know. And I've always had kind of an anti-cop sort of feeling, even though I married a cop, and I almost married a cop, an LAPD officer, years and years ago. And he was, in a way, one who got away, but it's okay. My life needed to take a different turn anyway. And I love him dearly. We're still good friends. And I have a couple friends that are cops actually in LA, and I love them very, very much. And they're very good people, but it's like the, like, it's just like the so many more interactions with cops left a bad taste in my mouth. And yesterday, I'm going to give people the benefit of the doubt. And she was so lovely. And she actually hugged me too. I'm like, oh, you know, you can't judge people on their profession or, you know, on their situation, you know, I've met homeless people that wanted to kick my ass. I met a homeless guy who wanted to kick my ass one day. He wanted to fight me. He tried to punch me in the face. I mean, it was serious. I was terrified. I was a teenager and I was like, oh my God, this scrappy old man's going to kick my ass in an alley. And he said he was going to steal my shoes. And he started screaming at me for being rich, from rich parents, and how dare I flaunt my shiny new shoes that mommy and daddy bought me. And I was just like, that's it. I had it, and I let him have it, and I started yelling at him, like, I'm like, first of all, my mom and dad have not supported me since I turned 18. They kicked me out of the house. I have been on my own ever since then. I bought my shoes myself for a whopping $20 at a discount store. And I told him where he could buy them for himself, you know. And he's like, well, I do get Social Security because, you know, I'm a veteran and I get veterans benefits and Social Security because I'm old. So, you know, maybe I can afford these shoes too, even though I'm homeless. I'm like, well, of course you can. They're not like whatever you imagined. You know, you say that I have my mommy and my daddy. I'm living in a one-car garage that's an illegal conversion to a guest house behind a house. And he's like, what? I go, yeah, I open up my door and it slams into my bed. I have to crawl on a stepladder to get to the microwave, which is above the sink. And he's like, what? He's like, that's terrible. I'm like, yeah, I'm practically homeless too. I pay $400 for something that's not that much better than what you've got. Maybe because I have a microwave and a roof over. And he's like, oh man. He's like, well, I've got a roof over. He showed me, you know, told me where he lived, you know. And then after that, he always protected me, you know. But at first I was like, I was getting ready to fight him, man. I mean, my dukes were up and I was like shaking and I was scared to death of this scrappy old bastard, but but after that, he actually hugged me and he said, you know, I respect you. You know, you've done it on your own. Anything you've gotten, you've done it on your own. And He told me that he was in Vietnam and he was freaked out all the time because he had PTSD and he never got treatment for it. And that's what basically one thing led to another, and he ended up being homeless on the streets. And I told him I'd pray for him. And I think I went and bought him a coffee when, you know, like the next day I went and bought him a fancy schmancy coffee and I gave it to him. And one day he was like, the day that I had the coffee, he started yelling my shoes, like, you and your fancy schmancy coffee. And, oh my God, you know, your mommy and daddy pay for that. I'm like, I am the security guard that works in that building. I paid $3 for this coffee and I make $4.35 an hour to do this job. This is the only coffee I had. I had like breakfast and then this. He's like, but it's 5 p.m. I'm like, exactly. That's what I could afford. And he's like, oh my God. He's like, you're really struggling. And I'm like, yeah, and on my own. I had my boyfriend, but we are both struggling to just keep our $400 a month one bedroom or one room studio converted garage thing. And he was just like, oh man. So after that, I guess I earned his respect somehow, and I always took care of, you know, him. When I had extra money, I would give him, like, you know, paydays, I would always give him, you know, a coffee or something. And we kind of had like a deep respect for each other, you know. But I've met other homeless people who are just as sweet as could be, you know. And you can't judge people for them having a home or not, for having a job you perceive to be dangerous towards the people, like police. It's hard to be a human being on the planet. You know, you can't judge people for that. So I hope that you're keeping an open mind to all the people that you meet, especially if it's people that in the past are people of that whatever category that's in your mind. Like for me, I just don't like cops. Like, oh my God, you know, just, it's like, yeah, 90% of my interactions with police have not been very nice. You know, maybe 80%. I have to say 80% because I have had some police actually do good for me. In Guatemala, the chief of police saved my life, my children and I. We missed our bus. The bus had left right as we got to the station because of the traffic from the other bus. It was just, we missed a connection and the next bus wasn't till morning. We're stuck in the worst part of town, worst part of Guatemala City, which is very, very dangerous. And the day after we left, the chief of police was on the news talking about how a mother and a daughter were shot and killed while crossing the street, right like a block away from where we had been, you know. And that guy, he put us up in a hotel room. He paid for it. He gave us a police escort to the terminal, where he made sure we got on the correct bus. He talked to the bus driver and said that he's going to follow up with us and make sure that everything was fine. We were treated well. I mean, he went above and beyond the call of duty. And so it's like, you just can't judge people for what they do. You know, not everyone on Wall Street is an asshole. And, you know, not every social worker is a good person. You know what I mean? Like, people are all individuals. So I just want to encourage you, though, to give everyone the benefit of the doubt and ask God for the highest guidance and put on your best, highest vibration and let God sort them out. You know, your high vibrations that come directly from God will sort people out for you. And people sort themselves, too. They don't like your high vibration. They're not going to stick around. They'll give you hassle for a minute or two, and then they'll have to leave. So it's up to you to love everybody and keep your wits about you, but love everybody and accept everybody for where they are. Because if they are bad or they're evil or they're whatever they're doing to you that you perceive to be not good, it's just because they're asleep. So don't judge people for what they do, who they are, or even how they act. You know, Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. In most cases, when people are mean, they just hurt people. So they don't always know what they're doing wrong. But luckily, I had a really lovely day yesterday. Yeah, and I was thinking about today, and I haven't taken my necklace off. Okay, I took it off like twice to look at it, and I couldn't stand it. I had to put it right back on. I was like, oh, this Labradorite, it's like so beautiful. And it says JD right on it. I'm like, oh my God, this is my future lover's initials, okay? My twin flame's initials. Oh my God. I wanted to tell you guys something really cool that I did not tell you when this came to me. The day that I was channeling Michael Shearhan, and he gave you guys Kuluru, which was the Pleiadian shield energy between your lower heart and your solar plexus energy, between your belly button and your heart. It shields you from other people's disbeliefs and fears about themselves. And it starts as a swirling clockwise sun energy that spins and grows hot. And then it cools down to a rose gold shield energy that eventually will surround you and bring you peace and strength and help you achieve your goals and raise your confidence. And this is a spell from the tribal people in one of the Pleiadian planets. And Kuluru, and you say it in a very low voice, low, deep voice, and very slow. Remember that day when I said that? And you say, Kuluru, Kuluru, Kuluru. And it takes away your negative disbeliefs about yourself and what other people believe about you. All the falsehoods fall to the wayside. So after that night when I published the show, Michael Shearhan was still with me. And what he told me is he wanted to give you guys another one. But I had like said goodbye and did the show, you know, ended the show and all that. He's like, you know what? There's another one you need to know. And he's saying that because I had a banana. So at the end of the show, I'm like, oh, I'm going to eat this banana. And he goes, I'm going to tell you something about that banana. Yeah, I picked it up. It was still green. So I ate the next day. So I did this thing twice. And the banana was really perfect. It was so good. But this is what he said. And this is what we're supposed to do. If you want, you don't have to. But you say this one time over your food. You can maybe do this to all the food in your fridge at once, right? You know, probably, yeah. So anyway, this is a Pleiadian food cleanse. It's a chant, but it's a food cleanse from the Pleiades also, I think from the same people. And it will increase the nutritional value of your food. You have to have concentrated focus when you say this. It could be in any voice. It doesn't have to be high-pitched or fast or slow or deep voice, however you wish to do it. And you say it one time. And I'm going to explain it after I tell you. It's Galwartula. Galwartula. Okay? So Galwar gets rid of all of the toxins and all the negative energy. It pushes out all of the bad vibrations, and it will neutralize any toxic substance or energy or negative vibe from the food, okay? From other people, from the land, from people, from chemicals, from anything. So you could say Galwar to clear a space, to clear a room, to clear a land, to clear a people of their toxins, their negativity, and their bad vibes. Galwar. With concentrated focus. That's how you get rid of it. But to increase the positivity, Tula. Or Tula. I love that name, Tula. Name your child that, no, or cat, maybe if you have a cat, or a dog, Tula. Tula, T-U-L-A is how I spelled it. Galwar, I spelled G-A-L-W-A-R. Tula increases and calls forth all potential minerals, vitamins, and life force for your food, like fruits, veggies, grains, meats, drinks, whatever it is, water, whatever it is. It will bring about the energy of the greatest possible nutritional value for that food, and energetically will align it with Prime Creator. Seriously, if you name your, if you have a little girl and you named her Tula, I wonder if she would always be healthy. That would be so strange, right? Well, if you had a boy and a girl twin, the boy is Galwar and the girl is Tula. Galwar, Tula. Oh my God, your house would have such best vibes ever. Maybe you could have two dogs and name them that. I don't know. But let's see. If you say this every time over all of your food, every time, you will be healthier. And you will reverse all diseases and all health conditions that are keeping you down or holding you back health-wise. So I wanted to share the Galwar Tula with you today. I wanted to make sure I wrote this down. I've got this magical fairy notebook, has Tinkerbell on it. It says, I believe in fairies, because I do. I do. I do believe in fairies, and it says, life is fly. It has all the Tinkerbell art on it. It's so adorable. I love notebooks. The notebooks here are amazing. I write my show in the No Bad Vibes notebook, and I write all my magical things that come from all over the universe, from my universal friends in the Galactic Federation or from Prime Creator. Anything that's really magical, it's going to really help me and you. I write in my fairy book. So anyway, all right, I'm going to get right to it with the disclosurenews.it Schumann Resonance update today. And by the way, before I get into it, I wanted to mention full moon in Taurus today. So if you have your duende, charge it in the moonlight. I forgot, and my son today, he just was like, Mom, I can't stand it anymore. I need to go. I need $10 to buy a tarp and a fire starter and a, what else he has, and some rope to hold the tarp. And I want to go camping. I want to go camping right now. I can't stand it anymore. So I'm like, fine. I know if I say no, he's going to ask me repeatedly for the next 3 to 4 days and bug me until I say yes. So I'm like, ah, oh, screw it. Here's your 10 bucks, you know, just I'm going back to bed now, you know, and he came back. Look what I got. Look what I got. It's so exciting. And he came back and he said, okay. So I found a place for $15. I can buy a tent. Please, please, Mom, can I have a tent? And I'm like, okay. So I gave him $15 and he found a sleeping bag for $15, but he didn't have enough money. But he bought a space age blanket for $7. I'm like, oh my God, that's so adorable. So he came home with all the stuff. He got all the gear together and he's like, look at me. I'm ready to go right now. I could just go right now. I could go. And he had his fishing pole. He had everything, you know. And he's like, okay, I'm not going to go fishing right now. I'm going to bring a can of spinach and eat it directly out of the can without a spoon. Because I'm going to be a mountain man today. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, oh, my God. You can't just go out by yourself. He's like, yes, I can. Yes, I can. And I'm like, oh, I know how it's going to go. He's going to argue until he goes. And I'm going to worry all night. And well, he went. And about an hour later, he says, Mom, he sends me a WhatsApp message. He says, Mom, I love you so much. Thank you for believing me and letting me go, you know, have my camping trip. I'm in my friend's backyard on the side of a mountain, and it's just so awesome. I'm in my tent, and I'm out in nature, but at the same time, I'm safe because I'm in my friend's backyard. And I feel so good. And I just love you so much, Mom. Thank you so much. And I was like, oh, oh. And her heart grew 3 sizes bigger that day. I just, it's like I'm hearing, Fahu More. And I'm just like, yeah, okay, the Grinch is no more. My heart is enormous. Oh my God, my kids can just open you up so much to that love. And it's like, oh my God. And I told him, I go, look, I believe in you. And you've been studying and trying to learn about all this bug out stuff and survivalist stuff and in the event an apocalypse happens type stuff. And there's a show we watched years ago together on all this, like what happened during a nuclear fallout. You know, I don't know if you guys saw that TV show. It was excellent writing. Like, I can't remember the name of it, but it was about these people were in a small town, Colorado, and they're all just going about their day, and all of a sudden a nuke goes off in Denver, and they see the mushroom cloud rise, and they're like, oh my God, oh my God. And so they had a town hall meeting immediately, and they said the fallout's coming, you know, put the plastic on the windows. They're all freaking out, you know. So I watch these kind of shows with my kids, and I'm like, you know, it's a possibility, and it doesn't hurt to have the knowledge, but I don't want to focus on it, right? You know, so my kid was out getting all the camping equipment today before he went to his friend's property to go sleep outside, you know. I mean, he was like testing out, he's like rolling up his jackets in just or the right way to make like the perfect pillow, and so he wouldn't have to carry a pillow. It was like amazing. He's really an amazing kid. But he comes back with his tent that was waterproof, right? Rainproof, it said. And I kid you not, I don't believe that I've ever been in a crazier, louder, more scary thunderstorm than this afternoon. Lightning, I mean, every couple seconds there was lightning on all sides of the building. It was all around us. The sky was not even black. It was a pale gray, and in the distance a very light blue. And then in a matter of seconds, the whole sky, we were enveloped inside a cloud. We couldn't even see the mountains across the street where my son is sleeping right now. We couldn't see anything. It was crazy. It was like, I mean, my son comes home, he's drenched, soaked to the bone, but the tent that was in his hand, completely dry. And he's like, that's it, baby, I'm going camping tonight. And, you know, and as soon as the rain cleared up, he went. But I mean, it was so loud. It sounded like, like God was in his kitchen baking cookies and dropped like 1,000 baking sheets at once every few seconds. The thunder was so frickin' loud. I mean, incredibly loud. And the whole building was shaking. And right before that happened, this road crew just shows up randomly around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 1:30, and they all of a sudden I hear all these guys yelling and screaming and all this commotion, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere there's these trucks and stuff. I look out and there's like 4 or 5 different vehicles doing 4 or 5 different things. They're smoothing out the potholes, they're putting in the black tar, and I mean, bada boom, bada bing, like not even 20 minutes they filled up like 5 potholes, and then they put a bunch of tar and they put it in the driveway to the building next door. I wish they would smooth over our driveway. Our driveway is very dangerous. I tripped over it one day when I came back from the store and I couldn't see, and I tripped over it, and I hurt my foot and my ankle, landed on my knee, hurt my knee, broke a coffee cup I just bought at the store 5 seconds before, a $5 Darth Vader mug. It says, come over to the dark side, we have cookies. So, I mean, it was an adorable mug. We still have the mug, but it just doesn't have a handle anymore. and his chips. So, you know, my son still uses it because I bought it for him. It's something his brother would always say to us, you know, come to the dark side. We've got cookies. But, so anyway, so like all this commotion, and while the guys were working on it, the whole building was shaking. I could feel the road shaking, the jackhammer and the little mini steamroller and all this stuff that they had. It was crazy. And I was like, oh my God, I am so scared of like sinkholes, because I've been like in Detroit, there was one two blocks away from my house that I purchased. I'm like, oh my God, you know, I want to lose my house to a massive sinkhole, you know? And that was really scary. And there's salt mines all under Detroit. I didn't even know that. The salt mines. So the whole city could collapse. Who knows how far those go, right? And then, so there's that. And then the other thing is there was a sinkhole in Guatemala City when I was there. And I didn't see it. It would have terrified me. And there was another one in another city not too far from where I lived. And then in Peru, there was one like a block or two blocks from where we lived. And we had to walk by it every day. And that was the gate to get into our gated community, which was ridiculous because half the people inside the gated community were like criminals. You know, this is like you kept the criminals in, you know, it was really ridiculous. But so I've been around. So like this, like shaking of the building, I was like, oh my God. Finally, they left. I'm like, okay, thank God. No sinkholes. Everything seems solid. Everything's cool. Bada boom, bada bing. Right? And then the thunder came. Oh my God. I mean, it was so fast moving. And then it got right above the building. And then it was extremely slow moving. I mean, it took like 30 minutes to go half a mile. It was just, and you know how lightning never strikes twice? Actually, it does. It did today twice across the street. Struck, I don't even know what, the building, I guess. It struck the building across the street two times in a row. My son and I, we watched it. We saw it. We're like, oh my God. Oh my God. Lightning's not supposed to strike twice in one place. So that happened. That happened. It was just like super fast strips of magnesium. It was like so bright right in front of my window multiple times. I mean, just so much lightning. And I was struck by lightning in the past, so obviously I was very scared. And my son's like, get away from the window, Mom, I'm so scared. And he was so scared the lightning was gonna come in the window and break the glass, so he had to like shut the curtains because he's like, I need to be safe, you know, like at least the curtains will keep the glass from flying through the room. And I was like, oh my God, it was so stressful, but exciting. I mean, the energy of it is like, oh, maybe I could use the, I'm like watching Raising Dion's. I'm like, oh, I could use the ions for the storm and maybe put that in my prana energy. And I did, and I felt energetic, but at the same time, I was like, maybe I could levitate. No dice. Damn it. It didn't work. Anyway, let's get over to this one. Disclosure News.it in Italy today. The 8:00 in the morning report says, after several days of intense calm. Dude, really intense calm? Why don't we just say calm? I mean, unless they were really high, there's no such thing as intense calm. Anyway, we come to a new series of movements characterized by rather significant peaks. The changes started suddenly at 3 UTC, and in the span of 4 hours, there was the strongest peak so far at power 48. 1700 report says today's activity took place over a period of 9 hours. From 3 to 12 UTC, the most intense part with a maximum value today, previously reported, it's always that, right? It's always previously reported, was from 5 to 8 UTC. And the situation is now shown to be calm. So there you go. Power 48, that was it. And it's just one big white blurb. And then the rest of it looked pretty calm and clear. Nothing as nuts as it was the other day. That flag energy, that was nuts. So I'm going to go to heartmath.org and tell you what from midnight to 5 a.m. it was, but before I do that, I wanted to tell you a peek in Hululuwe, South Africa, at the hour 1500, or was it 3 o'clock in the afternoon, yesterday, it did get up to 570. That was the biggest peak. Remember, we said it was going to keep climbing, and it certainly did. At 5 in the morning, it had been at 517, and it went up to 570, 570. So I did want to mention that because that was what it appeared to be doing. So, and again, yeah, okay. Well, we'll tell you in a minute. We'll get to that in a sec. All right. 52 hertz frequency is what Value California saw at midnight, and at 5 a.m. they were down to 48. Now, Hofuf, Saudi Arabia was zero all the way across still. They've been zero for a long, long time with the occasional fluctuation, but generally just absolutely zero. They were like at 4 on November 8th. And they were at 5 or 6 on November 7th. And other than that, it's just been, they were at 3 on the 9th. And then that was it. And then they went back down to 0. And they've been 0 ever since the 9th. So gives you a clue as to what's been going on there for sure. Okay. Lithuania started off at midnight at the value of 124 hertz frequency, and they went until 5 a.m. It's just the same, 124. They went up to 125 for like 1 hour, and they were just doing like, let's see, I'm looking at this, let's see, from midnight on, 124, 125, 125, and then back down 124. That was it. In Alberta, Canada, they were at 77. Woo, nice master number still. They've been kind of at a really slow wave, very long wave kind of peak. 77, and then they went just to 71. So it's very smooth over there right now in Alberta, Canada. In Northland, New Zealand, the energy was 110 hertz frequency on the Schumann resonance at midnight, and they went to 76 by 5 a.m. Ooh, we're saving the best for last, I could tell you right now. Hululuwe, South Africa, they started off at 438 at midnight. They'd come down quite a bit, and they went up again to 444, 444 at 5 a.m. Now, I'm going to tell you, earlier today, at 4:44 in the afternoon, my phone was at 88% charge, and then something else said 11. I don't know what the 11 was, but on my phone, it literally said, oh, maybe, yeah, the date, 11, you know, for November, I guess. It literally said like 11:88:444. So I'm looking at this going 444. Okay, here's another number. That means thousands of angels are surrounding you in this very moment. They're protecting you and guiding you and keeping you safe. So if you're hearing this message, same goes for you as well. And speaking of master numbers, in A Course in Miracles, ACIM.org tonight, we are on lesson 155. And this is what the main idea for the day is. I will step back and let him lead the way. Not a sexist statement. Him means God in this case. So basically, I'll let God lead the way. I will step back and let him lead the way. There is a way of living in the world that is not here, although it seems to be. You do not change appearance, though you smile more frequently. Your forehead is serene and your eyes are quiet. And the ones who walk the world as you do recognize their own. Yet those who have not yet perceived the way will recognize you also and believe that you are like them as you were before. The world is an illusion. Those who choose to come to it are seeking for a place where they can be illusions and avoid their own reality. Yet when they find their own reality is even here, then they step back and let it lead the way. What other choice is really theirs to make? To let illusions walk ahead of truth is madness. But to let illusions sink behind the truth and let the truth stand forth as what it is merely sanity. Oh, well, there you go. There you guys go. That's what I've been doing. I've been giving you sanity in an insane world. I will step back and let him lead the way, for I would walk along the road to him. If you want to read the rest of the lesson, acim.org, or go find A Course in Miracles app. The Foundation for Inner Peace is the authorized publisher, but they did not copyright the book, so there's a million apps out there, and it's all free information, and it's all good stuff. So step back and let him lead the way today, guys. I am going to take a quick break, and when I come back, I am going to ask God directly 21 questions. I am not going to do the channeling that I do when I go into trance. I just am having a normal conversation with God like I do every day. I also give you hints on how you could do this yourself. I have two episodes I've done in the past. I'm going to discuss that in a few minutes. But how you can start hearing the still small voice that grows inside you until it becomes like your own thoughts. You could tell when it's you and when it's not you. But God is always inside you because God created you. You are a spark of God, which means you are literally part of that. And that is part of you. So when we come back, we're going to ask some very basic questions that people wonder about life here on Earth and all kinds of stuff. We're going to ask some of the same questions, similar questions to what they asked, to what Allan Kardec asked the spirits in the spirits book. In fact, we're going to find out tonight what percentage of the spirits book is real information. That's good information. And how much of it is kind of like the spirits are talking like a man with a paper ass. You know, we're going to find that out tonight. So stick around, and I'll be back right after these messages. Metaphysical Soul Speak is run on sponsors and listener support. This means listeners like you. If you are so inclined to support my efforts and my little podcast, please visit me at anchor.fm/metaphysical and pledge an amount of your choosing today. Thank you. Have you ever wanted to ask God questions about what you were told your whole life was true? Have you ever felt like maybe you're not totally getting the whole story from your synagogue or your church or your mosque? Maybe you're not hearing everything from your parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, and possibly maybe not everybody has the whole picture? Well, I'm not saying that I have the whole picture either, and this is why I'm going to go ahead and ask 21 questions of God tonight. And I am constantly in contact with the Prime Creator as well as my spiritual team. And I've been kind of prompted by God himself, and I were talking about it today. And I've had a conversation going with him for quite a long time, many, many years. And you can too, by the way. There's an episode I did called The Ascension Perspective. There's also an episode I did called Your Spiritual Team. Both of those episodes will tell you how to get your hands on the information that you need in order to connect with God and constantly be in contact with God. I mean, you could say it out loud. God, I want to be in contact with you all the time. I'd like to be connected to God. Period. That's it. You can connect with your higher self and your spiritual team. And then never let go. You know, you're going to learn a lot more staying connected than if you just connect once in a great while. In the beginning, you might want to connect for, you know, a day and then stop for a day, or maybe for a few minutes a day and then say, I'd like to be disconnected. Just if you are feeling too much energy, too much rushes of energy, it's hard for you to handle. You have to build up a tolerance. But I think that most people are able to handle it now that we've made that final oomph up into the fifth dimension. So it's just better to say God and spiritual guidance team and my holy guardian angel and my higher self and my spiritual, you say spiritual masters, but they're on your team. Is my spiritual guide or guides. I want to be connected with you. And then you just never disconnect. But I'm going to go ahead and show you how this works. I'm not going to be telepathically channeling God. I'm working through today the still small voice of God that resides within me because of this special connection. But I'm not any more special than anybody else. I just have been doing this longer than those of you who have never done this, if that makes sense. So the first question is that I want to ask God is heaven real? Is it a real place? Yes, of course heaven is real, he says. You've been there many, many times. In fact, all of you have been there many, many times. You've met me in person. You've met Divine Mother and everybody, Jesus, other people who've passed in person. It's a place to learn and grow in a very relaxed society. It's a way to reconnect with people you haven't seen in a long time. You'll run into people you haven't seen for thousands of years there, and it's just a joyous, happy place. There's an permeation of love. Just like if you walked into a garden filled with jasmine and that scent permeates your nostrils and tickles your brain and it makes you feel giddy and alive and joyous and happy. That's the energy and the spirit and the feeling of heaven. Question two, is Jinnah, the Garden of Allah, as they talk about in the Quran, is that the same as heaven? Oh yes, of course it is. It's exactly the same place. There isn't a secondary place you go to, and there's a lot of confusion around that, where people feel like they're Muslim, so they're going to go to the garden and have all the virgins and all that, which none of that was ever said by me in the Quran. That's the aftermarket books that were warned about in the Quran, right? God, I mean, I'm asking that. They say, he says, yeah, pretty much. It's just man's making up yet more lies about what they believe will happen in the future because they want to feel more special or give themselves some kind of a incentive, but guaranteed sexual harassment of virginal females is not really part of a heavenly plan or a godly agenda. And it saddens me that that has become, for some people, a part of the reason why they need to be a good person. That just absolutely is incorrect. When you get to heaven, you will be with your friends and your family and people that you have loved before, people that you have made love to before, and you will be able to join with them in the energetic way that is in heaven. It's not the same kind of sexuality as you have on earth, but it is far more profound, far more fulfilling, and it's higher in vibrational nature. And it's loftier, if you want to use that kind of a word. But by that, I mean, it's just, it's higher in vibration and it's higher energies are used. It's with, on earth, the lower chakras are used. If there's love, the heart chakra is used. If there's a mental sharpness between, I'm not seeing that word. There's a mental sharpness of collaboration between two minds, then all the chakras can be aligned. If there's a spiritual connection, all the chakras are aligned, and sexuality between two people that line up in every way is far more satisfying than a quick hookup using the lower two or three chakras. This is why in the religions, it's recommended that you're married first, because usually when people are married, they have an intellectual connection. Usually they are attracted spiritually to one another. Usually they have not just a physical attraction, but attraction on every level, the heart connection. They grow to care about each other. They have to know each other well enough to marry. And once they marry and they spend more time together, more and more time, they care and love each other from the heart deeper. And when you make love in a way in which all of the chakras are connected and all are lit up, then the sexuality becomes very lofty and becomes the making love aspect, because you create and generate a pink aura around the two of you. And I'm not talking whether you're a man or a woman. You could be two women or a man and a woman. From a godly perspective, we frankly don't care what your genitals are, as long as, you know, it's not about the genitalia being a proper fit or whatever the religions say. We are concerned that you have a marriage of the heart and the mind and the soul before you have a marriage of the body, only because it aligns all your chakras, and therefore you literally create more love in the world. When you call it making love, you are absolutely correct about that. So there's no reason why, you know, I would create a situation where if you do all the rules right, you're going to have 99 women that will just have sex with you for the first time ever. That sounds completely and totally ridiculous to me. Because you're not going to have all the different connections with 99 women. Why would, like, if I tell you not to do it on earth, why would you think that it would be okay in heaven? It makes absolutely no sense from a logical standpoint. The books that were written that have things like these written in them were not channeled through Archangel Gabriel to the people. And even that, there was, we believe, some tampering with those books. So there cannot be 100% proof that it is my words. It's my words taken out of context. And then all the books that came after that are my words extorted beyond comprehension and beyond compare in some cases, and it's completely outside the constraints of what I was trying to get across in the book. But anyway, I guess he's saying, let's just move on. It's just it that I mean that could be a full discussion. Question three. Are you, Prime Creator, the same as God, the same as Allah? Are you the same person, or are they three different gods, or three different people, or three different ideas that have nothing to do with you, or what is that? Are you Prime Creator? He says, once you put it that way, I'm the three-in-one God. I'm the all-in-one, all-purpose tool. If you connect with me, then I will fix all of the areas of your life. That's awesome. That's like so creative. I love that, God. Thank you. So you are Allah. Yeah, of course. It's the same. The word is the same as saying Dieu in French, or Dios in Spanish, or just any number of, you know, Yahweh, Jehovah, Jah, Ra, whatever. It's all different words from different languages, and there's a lot of confusion in the people who want to perpetuate that your God is different than my God, and my God's the one and your God isn't, and it's just a bunch of petty BS that little humans, little-minded humans, want to spend their time arguing and separating themselves out further from other human beings. They feel that that's going to somehow get them more brownie points with me, whereas it's not going to be that way. It's better to unify, love everybody, just as Jesus spoke of. And even in the Quran, it says to honor all of the prophets that came before. That does include Jesus and Moses and Ibrahim and even John the Baptist. You know, all the people that had anything good to say that was for the benefit, obvious benefit of humanity, should always, of course, be followed and listened to. But yeah, of course, Prime Creator, Allah, Dios, whatever you want to call me, it's the same. You want to call me the universe because religion has really torn you up inside and hurt your, broke your mind and hurt your heart. It's okay with me. Call me anything but late to dinner. He's saying that because my family used to say that. Yeah, you can call me anything except late for dinner. My dad's family, there was seven kids. My grandma, grandpa, and then they had seven kids. And so that was like a joke in the family. So God's always referencing that. Okay. Okay, God, are guardian angels real? Oh, yes, of course. Everyone has experienced incidents with their guardian angels. Sometimes they're very small and they don't recognize that the angel's there. But absolutely, guardian angels are real. All right. And the follow-up to question is, our personal holy guardian angel, like the basic guardian angel that's always with us, is it true that that angel's been with us since the moment our soul was created? Absolutely. I created an angel companion for each one of you. And the angel companion is not to interfere, but rather just to walk side by side with you. And if you're going to harm yourself, you will get feelings of sometimes guilt or feelings of remorse or regret or feelings of love, or somehow the angel will influence you. Sometimes the angel will get other angels to influence humans to call you in that moment or to do something to stop it. But for the most part, everyone's holy guardian angel is there to give you love at all times. They constantly are beaming you. a great deal of love. And if you say, I allow this and I accept this, you're going to feel it a lot more and even get more help than you ever did before. Usually it's just a matter of asking because you do have free will. But yes, it's like, the angels were created kind of as a best friend and an invisible best friend that some of you don't know about. A lot of the children that do have invisible best friends are not always deceased spirits. Sometimes it's their guardian angel that will play, especially the really, really little children who are very innocent and the veil hasn't descended fully on them yet. Now that you're in the fifth dimension, however, a lot of the veil related lack of memory or, you know, is going to be gone. Like you're going to have children are going to be born knowing what's going on, and your ideas of what's going on and your feelings of your angel, you're going to have more information in the upcoming years. Things are going to change drastically and way much for the better in the very near future for you guys. Okay, question 5. Is Satan evil? Yes, Satan is the epitome of all bad thoughts of humans. Oh, so Satan himself, he is a massive thought form. The way that plastic aggregates together in the ocean, creating a plastic island, pretty much that's what Satan is. He is the conglomeration of negative and evil thoughts perpetuated by humans. He did not perpetuate the evil in humans. He became the embodiment and epitome of evil that humans created with their own mind. Lest you forget, you are co-creators in this world. So does that not make sense? Yeah, it absolutely does. So my follow-up question to that was Satan an angel that fell to Earth? No, absolutely not. He was created on Earth by the human's thoughts, the co-creative energy. You all know that you're all created from the spark of the divine. And having that spark inside you, you are able to create. That's why it is said that people with an artistic eye bring life to the paintings. They really, truly do. It is the life of God inside those paintings. That's why some paintings can haunt you. Some paintings can move you. They could bring you to tears or make you feel a great amount of love. That's because there's actual emotion that gets trapped in the paint. So, but no, Satan was not an angel that fell to Earth. He's not really, he's a soulless being that was created by negative thoughts. All right, so are demons real and what are they? Pretty much the same thing as Satan. Demons are lesser or lower vibratory entities that are pretty much created by people's thoughts, but they're not, they're like mini plastic floating islands in the ocean or a plastic bag on the beach, you know, for example, instead of like a massive island. It's just, and there's different ones that have been created based on different ideas. So if there's like a jealousy that is enraging people in a high school, for example, a demon will be created there. But it takes a lot. It's not just 5 or 10 or 20 people having a thought for 1 year about a thing. It's when places are not cleaned and cleared spiritually and the land has that energy, and then people are attracted to that energy over hundreds of years, thousands of years, millennia. That's what creates demons. And that's why it has been said that there's more demons in the world today than ever before. But that would be the reason, is because people have not heard the still small voice inside them. They haven't thought to heal anything but themselves. They haven't considered that animals and plants and the air itself and, you know, trees and rocks, all the things need energetic clearing, as well as clearing of obvious things such as trash, debris, and pollution in the air. It's necessary to look at everything holistically. And this is a new idea for many, if not most people, even though in the people who did magic a long, long time ago, they had these ideas. And they cleared a lot of energy. But when the Salem witch trials and the witch trials around the world happened, the people that had the knowledge of clearing the land were put to death or went into hiding, and that did not become a priority. And the information was not passed down. There were many books and manuscripts and spells to create a cleaner environment were just trash. They were just thrown out to the wayside, and people didn't really know to pay attention to that after all of that time in human history. It's very sad, really, and only now are people starting to pick up on the still small voice inside their heart, which is me speaking to them, like, hey, maybe you need to clean this out. Maybe you need to do that. The Ho'oponopono process is a good way to clean up anything. The kahunas of Hawaii did not lose the information. There are bits and pockets of peoples in different places, different cultures, usually small island nations that were unaffected by the mass hysteria over witches, magic, and witchcraft, and the ravages of and the rapacity of the Catholic Church didn't reach, thank God, thank me, all places. It didn't reach all places. So, okay. Let's see what else. Is Lucifer different from Satan? Yes, of course. Lucifer was an angel, and he did fall to earth, and he did strike up a rebellion, but he himself, he's not evil. He just wanted a different kind of life for himself. He didn't want to live in heaven. He wanted to have more excitement. He thought that the humans are being created were going to get more attention than him. And I suppose he's more of a narcissist, and he represents the narcissists of the world in a way. He is a bright, shining star as far as angels are concerned. He is very beautiful and very alluring, but he also has basically his issues, and he has gotten over them for the most part, and he is still beloved by me, if you must know. I mean, the same way that if one of your children run away from home and you love that child very much, and then they come back a week later or a day later or an hour later, you still love them, maybe even a little bit more. I feel the same way about him. I feel the same way about all of my creations. I love all of them. And Lucifer and Satan are two separate beings, so please keep that separate in your minds from now on. It's not exactly what you've been told or taught. The names of different beings aren't always interchangeable. All right, question 8. Did a great angel rebellion occur? Yes, indeed it did. It was a very long time ago. It did not happen on all planets. It happened on Earth. It was the angels that I had created to watch over the Earth and take care of man, and Lucifer, as you know, led that rebellion, and I asked them to go to Earth to watch over, and they decided to get the humans in trouble, I guess, and they did not create evil in the world, but they encouraged humans in the bad way. All right. Okay, question 9. Did you allow that to happen because of free will, because it was a 3D world of duality, or was there another reason why you created or allowed that to happen? I mean, you created angels that were going to rebel, or... No, I asked them to go and watch the humans, and they were the first legion of angels to go to heaven, or go to from heaven to earth to take care and watch the humans. And they resented that because they had been told that they were perfect creatures, they were perfect beings, and they believed it, which is true because angels were made perfect. But they were the first sent to a world of free will, and when they got to the world of free will, they swooped up the energy of that and they ran with it and decided that they didn't want to do my will anymore, and they did rebel. And then the second legion of angels came, and you guys, the whole time I'm saying this, I'm like muscle testing like crazy to make sure it's true, that I'm actually getting the right information. I guess I am, because muscle testing seemed right. So, all right, so the second rebellion, God, what was that? Or the second legion of angels came, and they saw what the first legion of angels were doing, and it saddened them that they were not following divine will, because humans were supposed to have free will among themselves only, not the angels. And it made the schematic a lot more interesting, for sure, but a lot more complicated. And so I had to have the second set of angels to make a balance in the world. It was to be a grand experiment that became an even grander experiment. All right, follow-up question. God, are you saying you made a mistake? No, there's never any mistakes when you're trying something new. For me or for anybody. It's just, it is what it is, and it happened the way it happened. And it seems to many people that would mean that I had no control over it. But of course, I could put an end to anything or create a new energy or do anything. But I wanted to see how it played out. And it became very, very interesting. And the parts of me that are the humans that went way, way, way far deep and far away from my energy, and they rebelled against it, I got to learn and experience and get the knowledge from that. So nothing is ever wasted or lost in the universe, especially not learning. No matter how dark or bad or evil that learning might quite seem from a human perspective while on Earth, it's always been very interesting. Earth has been really and truly one of the wilder experiments I've ever created. Okay, question 10. Is it true that a third of the people are evil, a third of the people are good, and a third of the people are kind of walking that middle path, gray area, doing a little bit of good and a little bit of evil and everything in between? Is that, I mean, that's how Sylvia Brown wrote it. It's what I've taught on my show. It's what I've considered to be the truth. But I want to know the truth from you for real, because I don't know for real. So can we label people good and evil, or is there no good or evil, or what do we want to say about that? When given a choice to live on the earth, you're given the path of the light, the dark, or the gray, the middle path. And it's not a decision made in heaven. It's a decision you make when you come to earth. And it's a moral dilemma or ethical dilemma that occurs when your first situation arises and you have to choose. And the way in which you choose more often than not is the way that you go. And some people choose good or evil or for or against themselves. That's what good and evil truly are. You either go for yourself or against yourself. And sometimes people choose half the time for themselves and half the time against themselves. And sometimes the people choose always against themselves and against others because they don't recognize their unity, because they're very, very deep into the sleeping part of this schematic. And the people that always choose the highest, best good for everyone involved are considered good people, but they're the ones that are just choosing for themselves all the time and for the people all around them for every time. So, in other words, being selfish is being good? In a way, yeah. But selfish in a way that doesn't harm others. When you're selfish in a way that harms others, then that's going against yourself. Even though it's called selfishness, it's more like, how do you say? It's like otherlessness. So you have less energy compatibility with other people when you go against yourself, because people tend to shy away and stray away from that energy. They don't like it. Overall, there is more light than darkness in this world. It has to be that way, because in the end, good wins. Good will always win. It has to, because everything that was created from good. So when you say good and bad, you're putting a judgment on it that doesn't need to be there. You could say for or against yourself. That is a lot more accurate. All right. What about question 11? What are the background people? I have heard that there's always crowds of people in cities that aren't really people. They're like matrix background people. Is any of that true? No, absolutely not. Some people seem to be like background people because they live extremely simplistic lives, but that's what they chose for themselves before they were born. Some people choose to have a simple job, have a family, have a husband, have no drama, live like a good Catholic or a good Christian or a good Jew, and they just want to be drama-free, or for the most part, they just want to live a normal life. So when you see a grouping of people, most people seem to be like background people because they're not standing out, but there's no such thing as actual background people. All right, follow-up question that got. I heard someone tell me that people that look vacant, like the background people, are actually living simultaneously in a past life at that moment, and they're putting more attention and focus because all time is happening now, or sometimes it's because they're living on another planet and they kind of vacate their body and they just look like kind of dull and dead. Is that a possibility? Yes, absolutely. A lot of times people do stop what they're doing in order to go relive a few moments in a past life or another life or a side, not a side dimension, but as a parallel timeline, or they go to the future or the past, or sometimes they become what you might say is unstuck in time for a moment, and they have like a reverie, and when this happens, they tend to have like a blank look on their face, and sometimes there's more magnetic anomalies in some areas than others, and sometimes, especially in cities, there's a lot more metal, a lot more energy created by the lines of the streets, the way things are created. And it seems more like a background people in a matrix situation, but really what it is the energies are all intersecting, and sometimes it blows people out of their body for a few moments here and there. And at any given moment in any city, it just seems like there's a great number of automatron or blank people that aren't really real people, but I assure you that they are really real people. They're not just background. I don't like waste. I'm not going to just create a body walking around without a soul or something. That's not true. So, all right, question 12. What will actually happen to the sleeping people if they don't wake up soon while we're in the fifth dimension? Is there a deadline for them to wake up? All right, so first of all, what's going to actually happen to sleeping people? It is my hope that the greater majority of the sleeping people will wake up. And if they do, then even if they're babies and new to the spiritual world, we know that you're all going to take care of them and be good to them. And if they are not actually going to wake up and they're just going to continue to be asleep and continue to vote for people who are going to continue to harm the earth and harm humans and even the people that are in politics and in charge doing all that. They're going to be removed from the planet. And yes, there is a deadline. Is it a soft deadline? Absolutely not. It's a hard deadline at this point. It's been a soft deadline for the past 3 years. We've given every opportunity, many ET beings and angels. There's been so much extra help sent, and if people aren't going to wake up by a deadline, what is the deadline? December 21st of this year. So December 21st, 2019, that is the deadline. And what's going to happen to them after they don't wake up? If they're just like, well, again, I've told you about this before where it's going to appear that a lot of people die in disasters, but the reality is they're going to be removed and put into similar bodies in similar circumstances, and they're not going to have a memory of this planet, and the planet they end up on will be a three-dimensional planet that will take care of them and harbor them, and, you know, as if they are fugitives of divine law, and they're going to just live their days out there, and they're not going to understand what happened, really. You know, for example, say a sleeping man has a daughter who is awake. The daughter will stay here. The sleeping man will be removed to another planet, but he's going to have absolutely zero memories of having that daughter, just because we don't want people to be hurt. Even if they're asleep, they don't deserve that kind of intense sense of loss out of nowhere. So we're going to take good care of them. But in many cases, memories of this world will be wiped from them when they hit the new bodies. And we have it all kind of arranged and situated. But many of these people, and don't feel sorry for them, because this is something that they chose. They chose to be in this world and stay asleep. That, you know, they wanted extra time in the third dimensional world, and, well, they're going to get it. So don't feel sorry for them at all. All right, God, is reincarnation real then? Yes, absolutely. Of course reincarnation is real. Okay, he says that does account for all the past life memories you've had, right? Yeah, of course. Question 14. Do all souls have to go through the same karmic wheel cycle of birth and death, birth and death, birth and death, etc., until they perfect themselves completely? Do all souls have to go through that? No, absolutely not. You have free will from the get-go, from the beginning all the way to the end. You have free will. A lot of you are brave, strong souls, and you know that the more you come, the faster you grow. So you come here over and over and over again. Some of the souls see what you guys are going through and they say, no way, it's not for me. And they weren't necessarily created to be brave souls or to grow or develop into brave souls. A lot of those people that stayed behind in heaven are absolutely 100% support people. They're like on your support team, and you are their champion because they were afraid to go. So, all right, so next question, question 15. Do we have a choice to never be reincarnated again? Of course, absolutely. You don't have to come back. You don't, some people in the 80s, during the beginning of this current New Age movement, a lot of people were saying, well, I don't have to come back because I'm an advanced soul. And none of that's actually accurate. Advanced souls often will come back. And souls that are babies often will never come back because they can't handle it. They can't hack it in the third dimensional world. So that has nothing to do with it. If you have 10,000 lifetimes on Earth, that's what you chose, but it doesn't make you more advanced. It doesn't make you a slow learner either. It just is what your decision was. You like this world, you have attachments here, or Maybe you just want to come back and help people over and over again, or maybe you're failing to learn the same lessons over and over again. It could be stubbornness, but it's not always a fast and hard rule. It's not what people make it out to be so rigidly. You know, they go from one religion to another and they become New Age and give up their religion, and then they become very staunch supporters of it and they still point fingers and they're very judgmental. It happens so much. It happened a lot in the 80s. So don't worry about it. If you are in your second life, you could still be a spiritual master. If you are in your 2000th life, you might only be halfway to being a spiritual master. The amount of lifetimes here or not here has nothing to do with your advancement. It has to do with your focus and your concentration. And do you have a choice to never reincarnate here again? Absolutely. You don't ever have to come back. Don't worry. Don't panic about that. All right, so question 16, is hell real? And do you send people to hell to punish them? And how do they get there if not? Yes, hell is real. Yes, I created it because I wanted souls to experience, if they want to experience a bad life, they get to experience a bad afterlife. They get to be less dense and still be in that negative energy. So, did I create it? Yes, I did, but it is a safe place, even if it seems like an unsafe place. People get to relive the things that they didn't work out on Earth. They get to relive those things over and over again until they get it right. So do you personally send people to hell? No, they send themselves to hell by their actions. And they decide at the gates whether or not they belong in the one place or in the other place. So how is it that they get there if you're not sending them? It's basically that they're doing it themselves. Yes, exactly. Are they doing it themselves? Yes, exactly. They're, people that have scenes or of guilt or various things that just play out so bad in their mind that they want to work it through. And once they work it through, they might go to another hell, you know, a lesser hell. Or they might just go to heaven after that. It's all dependent. You've heard the term, the gateway to hell is always open. It's absolutely true. Also, that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. But that can also be true. But at the same time, I wouldn't panic too much about it, because you could send yourself there, but you can also get yourself out. It's not a punishment from me. It's a punishment from you. All right, 17, are bad people recycled back to Earth immediately, or do they go to hell? Well, that's a tricky question, but they do decide whether or not they want to be reincarnated. If they get to the gates or they're on their way to the gates, but it's obvious that they did not learn anything at all, or they've maybe regressed further backwards, and they're definitely not going to be a good influence. You have to have a certain vibration to get into heaven. And the bar is actually not as high as you might believe. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be not bad. You know, that lower energy. You have to be for yourself. And most people don't believe in heaven that are not for themselves, because they don't believe in themselves enough to believe that yourself has a home. And so the soul will boomerang back to Earth and continue that vicious cycle until that gets tedious and old. And they'll get to a point where they decide maybe they do deserve to move on to a different level or a different plane. Not that they deserve to die, because that doesn't have positive connotations, but then they'll put themselves in hell. I mean, with their own actions, they put themselves in hell and they'll live that. If they've decided they don't want to live anymore on Earth in an incarnation, then they'll put themselves in hell and they'll just live there. It could be throughout all of eternity, or for 30 years or 30 days, or in some cases 35 to 45 minutes. It just depends. And then when they realize the error of their ways, they're not really given a whole lot. They'll be sat down in a room and you're given one or two people to talk to for a few minutes, and then they get reincarnated. They don't get the full service if they turn totally against themselves, because the energy that they harbor in their souls just doesn't qualify them to go into heaven. But it's their own fault if they don't qualify for heaven. That's because they don't want to qualify, and they've chosen the hardest path of all, is to be evil. No one likes an evil person, and it goes farthest away from yourself. So in one sense of the term, that most evil people are the bravest souls. They don't know it, and they won't discover that until they start coming back to center again and they become good again, or for themselves again. And this could take lifetimes or thousands of lifetimes. Okay, question 18. Can we learn and grow in heaven or higher dimensions instead of reincarnating or being on earth? Yes, absolutely. You might learn and grow at a slower pace, but it's a relaxing and beautiful pace where everything is beautiful and permeated with love, and everything is wonderful, and you don't have hard trials. You're never going to suffer the loss of a pet or break a limb or even get so much as a paper cut. You're not going to have the trials and the things that hold you back. For some souls, that is a perfect pace. It might be a snail's pace compared to Earth, but that's okay. There is no race, for real. It's everyone goes at their own pace, because I created all of time and eternity, and you have an eternity to learn. So don't panic if you're not learning everything this month or this week or this year or this lifetime. No one can possibly have all the answers and knowledge in one lifetime. So don't worry about it. You can go wherever you want. You can be on Earth, you could be in heaven, you could be on other planets. You can learn on higher dimensions, so don't panic about that. Okay, question 19. Once we clear all of our stuff, our remnants of the 3D world, will the 5D or fifth dimension look and feel differently to us than it does this week? Oh yes, absolutely. It's going to be so wonderful. You're going to see a lot more clear skies than you did before, because collectively you're going to see the beauty and the love and the light. And when you see that, your minds are automatically going to create better weather. It's going to create plants growing in lots that were formerly just brown and ugly, where nothing would grow. Everything's going to get different and better and improve. And at first you might notice it little by little, but within a couple years you're going to really go, wow, wait a minute, look how far we've come. And in that moment, I'm going to be so proud of you. Okay, actually, in all moments, I am so proud of you. Okay, question 20. What percentage of the info in the Spirits book is real? Okay, 93%? Yeah. Okay, he says 93%. He says, I'd like to say about 93% of it is real, and 7% is erroneous information that the Spirits perceived falsely. He did not call for the highest, most knowledgeable spiritual masters to come. He just called for spirits or the spirits. And what happened in this book is that the same group of spirits were following him around from medium to medium, and they were wondering, why did he keep going from medium to medium? Which is, it accounts for why a lot of his answers are so snarky. They're just like, oh my God, like, we already told you this. They kept saying that throughout the book, and he didn't catch it ever. He thought different spirits would hang around different mediums, but he didn't realize it was his own soul group coming around with him specifically. So they were knowledgeable in about 93% of the questions that were asked. So it's a good book. It's worth to read, but take everything with a little grains of discernment, and you'll get it. You'll understand. You'll understand what you need to, basically. All right, God. Final question for the night, question 21. Will the extraterrestrials get here soon and reveal themselves to everyone instead of just a select few? Is there going to be a mass self-disclosure of the ETs to us someday. Yes, and on that glorious day, it's going to be so welcomed by all of you. The sleeping people will be gone by then. All of the people on Earth will be awake to one extent or another. When the ETs come, you're going to have your mind will be blown away. You're going to have your mind blown because you are going to experience so much more. They're going to bring technology and inventions and ideas, and you are going to see things and know things and hear things and their music and their language and their cultures that they will bring. It's going to be a mass explosion of knowledge. Your brains are going to feel so happy, like they've taken a giant cosmic bubble bath. And you're going to feel so relaxed and happy when they come, so don't worry about it. Some of you have been a little bit nervous about it. Don't think about the negative ETs you've heard of. They won't be allowed there. Your vibration will be too high for them, and they won't stand the frequency of it anyway. So don't worry and don't panic. Wow, this is cool. Thanks for talking to everybody, including me, through our day-to-day connection. I appreciate it. I did not have to go into a trance this time or do anything. I just asked God some questions. That was it. And it comes up that easy for me. If you want to come up that easy for you, go to my episode on the Ascension Perspective and maybe buy the book and read it. It's going to help you for sure. So I know the authors, and they're pretty cool people. So very spiritual people. So, all right. He says, yeah, thank you for listening. Thank you for asking the questions. So many people have been wondering these things. And so I'm glad that finally the questions were asked again. And the conversations with God books are also helpful. A lot more questions, obviously. But and God said, yeah, those are accurate books as well. So, yeah, don't worry about it. Oh, and you can ask God your own questions. Oh, and if you guys want to. You could, if you want to ask me questions that you want me to ask God, if you're not there yet, you're not hearing that voice, and you're not doing it for yourself yet, but you want the information, you can ask me. In fact, if I get enough questions, I'll do another show. I need 21 questions. So if you guys want to forward those questions to me at metaphysicalsoulspeak@gmail.com, then once I get 21 questions, then I'm going to do another show just like this one. With new questions, newer than what I just asked. Different questions. So that's it, guys. I want to say thank you for listening to the show and for forwarding it to your people, for like-minded folks who might want to hear good information that is going to spark their own divine renaissance and bring about a peace that passes all understanding. Hopefully I give that kind of vibe off. Some of the stuff I do might send that vibe. I hope it does. Anyway, I just want to thank you guys for all that. But that's it for now, guys. I'm going to be back tomorrow with all unique and original programming, just like always. But for now, I'm signing off with peace and joy and the high vibes of the Holy Fifth Dimension. Until next time, guys, peace. Do you ever wish you could look into the next chapter in your book of life and see what's coming next? What does the universe have in store for you? I can help you with that. I will give you a Celtic cross reading, which is 10 cards, or you can ask me 3 questions, and I use 3 cards per question. So that's 9 cards, or I can channel your higher guidance, or maybe God directly for you. Maybe you want to talk to your dear departed Aunt Edna, because maybe you have a few questions and she was the smartest person you knew. If your deceased relatives are available or your ascended masters, I can channel them for you personally. Let me have 1 hour to show you the future in your next chapter of your book of life. Readings are $75 and it takes me 1 hour to 1.5 hours to complete. And for this price, you will also be hooked up to the healing grid around the planet for free, which means yours truly, me, I will be giving you Reiki 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the rest of your life. All you have to do is let me know, metaphysicalsoulspeak@gmail.com, and we will explore your future together.